Thank you very much. It is a great pleasure to be here with you again. Thank you for your prayers and for your encouragement to our family. It really does mean an awful lot to us. About a month ago, I was asked to speak to a group of young people, and the topic I was given was how to listen to a message. And so I prepared for it, and as I was getting ready for it, we started the meeting, and there was a ladies' group that were meeting in the back, and they decided, instead of just kind of having their ladies' meeting, that they would come in and listen too. And several of the ladies said to me afterwards, "I wish that I had have heard a message like that many years ago. It would have been very helpful, and that we need to kind of hear this kind of practical thing." So based on that, you're going to get to be inflicted with the same idea today, how to prepare yourself to listen to a message. So this is really preparatory to the next message. I'd like to just emphasize the importance of hearing, first of all. Turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs. I want to think of it in terms of how to prepare to hear from God. How to prepare to hear from God. And we want to think about the importance of hearing. Proverbs 28, verse 9 says this: "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." That's quite a verse, isn't it? You know what it's really saying is this: if you don't listen to God, why would you expect Him to listen to you? Now, that really is kind of sobering, isn't it? So the question is, did we come today preparing to hear from God? Because we certainly want to pray, we want to bring our requests to Him, and we want to tell Him about our issues, and rightly so, He's told us, "Cast your cares upon Me." But on the other hand, what He's saying is, just think about this for a minute, why should I listen to you if you won't listen to me? And many of our problems, actually, that cause us to go to God in prayer is because we haven't been listening to Him. If we had have been listening, maybe we wouldn't have been in some of the problems we find ourselves in. Look at Jeremiah now. Jeremiah, of course, this weeping prophet who is a prophet of bad news, in a sense, to his nation, telling them that they're about to be carried away captive into Babylon. Jeremiah 13, verse 10. And, of course, I'm going to just mention a few references here, but if you were to take the time to read through the book of Jeremiah, you'd see this is a consistent passage, consistent pattern in the book. Verse 10 of Jeremiah 13, it says, "This evil people which refuse to hear My words, which walk in the imagination of their heart and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing." And of course, he's going to do things, put it in a riverbank, all kinds of things. But the point is, this people, evil people, refuse to hear My words. Verse 15 of chapter 13, "Hear ye and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord has spoken." Jeremiah 17, verse 23. The importance of hearing. "But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction." And then just one more from Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29. And again, there's many of them. I mean, if you just did a search in your concordance and look at the idea of hearing, in Jeremiah, you'll see that the problem that caused the demise of the nation of Judah, the southern kingdom, was they wouldn't listen. Verse 19, "Because they have not hearkened to My words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by My servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye would not hear, saith the Lord." And so the consequences were, they were carried away into Babylon, into judgment for 70 years. Why? Because they would not listen to the voice of God. You begin to see how serious it is to listen? It really is important, isn't it, to listen to God. Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8, I'm sure you're familiar with this. Amos 8 verse 11, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." And I always, when I ever read that verse in the past, I always thought, well, the famine's the word of God. No, it isn't. That's not the famine. The word of God is being given. What's the famine? Hearing the words of God is the famine. You know, there's nobody listening. God's word is being faithfully given out. It's being proclaimed. It's being uttered. It's being given expression, but people are not listening. And that's where the problem comes. Some positive examples of people that wanted to listen. Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and verse 7. We're going to look at a couple of references here in Acts 13. Acts 13 verse 7. It says, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man or intelligent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Why was he an intelligent man? Because he wanted to hear God's word. That's why. You know, it is an intelligent thing, isn't it, to want to hear from God? I think it's one of the smartest things that a person can do is to say, God, I want to hear your voice. I mean, that's real intelligence, don't you? I think it's really dumb to be somebody that says, I can manage my own life and I don't want to hear from you, God. That's utter foolishness. But here's a man, he's a prudent man, an intelligent man, because he wants to hear from God. Chapter 13, verse 44, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But wouldn't it be wonderful if that was true of Kansas City? The whole city came together to hear the word of God. What a tremendous thing that would be. But there was eagerness. You know, one of the problems, I think, is of traveling to other countries is you meet people that are so eager to hear the word of God. When you go to places like Kenya, I think last year I should talk to you about Kenya, but people hiking 3 days after bringing in their harvest, hiking 3 days and being at conferences, and you start at 9 in the morning, you go to 11 at night, and even in the tea breaks, they're around there with open Bibles asking you questions. They're eager to hear from God. And it's hard to come back here sometimes and not become cynical. Romans 10, 17. Don't even have to turn there. You know this verse. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want more faith? You want greater faith? You want your faith to increase? Well, you better listen to God. Listen to His Word. Listen as we learn of how He's dealt with others. It will increase your confidence in Him and increase your faith. Hebrews chapter 5. And we're going to get down to some practical issues in a moment. But I just wanted to lay the foundation and stress the importance of listening. Hebrews 5 verse 11. Let me read from verse 10. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. In other words, the writer here is really anxious to give them more information about Melchizedek, that beautiful type of Christ, and he's really anxious to wax eloquent about the glorious type, but he says, I just can't do it. Not because I'm not capable, not that I don't have the ability to do it. The problem's not with me, he says. The problem's with you guys. You're dull of hearing. You know, the Lord Jesus said in Luke 8 verse 18, He said this, take heed therefore how you hear. Isn't that a great verse? Take heed therefore, Luke 8:18, take heed therefore how you hear. How you hear. Sometimes I'll be engrossed in a book and my wife is talking to me. And I am hearing sounds, but I'm not paying particular attention to how I'm hearing, because invariably I have to say, what did you say, honey? Now, it wasn't that she was unclear in what she was saying, but I really wasn't listening. And isn't it possible to be here today in both these sessions? And words are being spoken, hopefully, faithfully, the word of God is being presented, and it's possible to be here and not be here at all. because in our minds, we're totally distracted. We're somewhere else. And the Lord Jesus says, take heed, therefore, how you hear. Pay attention. So how can we prepare to hear from God? What's some of the things that we can do? I want to just kind of simply say this. What about before the message? Is there things we can do to prepare ourselves before the message? What about during the message? How do we respond during the message? And then what about after the message? How do we hear from God? What to do to prepare for coming together to hear from God? Here's a radical idea. The preacher isn't solely responsible for the sermon at the meeting. You also are responsible. In what way? E.M. Bounds. Anybody here heard of E.M. Bounds? He was from Washington, Georgia. I don't know if you know that, but he ended up there at least. Whether he was born there, I'm not sure. But he was the pastor of the First Methodist Church in Washington, Georgia. And at one time, there was supposedly a tornado headed right for the city of Washington. And he went outside the city, got in the line of the tornado, got on his knees and prayed, and he went right around the city. This man was a man of prayer. He wrote books on prayer. I have a 5-volume set, the collected writings of E.M. Bounds, and every one of them is on prayer. If you want your prayer life to get some added oomph, I would suggest that you get hold of E.M. Bounds and some of his books on prayer. And he said this, and he's right in what he said. He says, without preparation, the preacher cannot preach to profit. Do we agree with that? One thing, if you're going to take the platform, you know what they say about real estate? The three most important things in real estate is location, location, location. Well, can I say this? Preaching, preparation, preparation, preparation. Now, there's more to it than that, but I do think it's important. If you come up here vaguely wondering what to say, the people will leave vaguely wondering what you said. You need to be prepared. You can't wing it. And so without preparation, the preacher cannot preach to profit. Without preparation, the hearer cannot hear to profit. The sermon may fail because the preacher has failed in prayerful and thoughtful preparation, but the sermon may also fail because of lack of thorough preparation in the pew. That puts it in a different perspective, doesn't it? I didn't get anything out of that message. Is that more a statement about the message or about you? Could be either one, couldn't it? For instance, did you pray for the preacher this morning? This week? You know, that's what these bulletins are for. They're not for just kind of continuing the forestry industry, you know, kind of the idea of... There's a purpose in them. And part of it is that you will find out who is going to be taking the platform the following Lord's Day, and it gives you all week. And, you know, if you really want to hear from God, you might start by saying, Lord, will you give that brother a message from heaven? That would be really good, wouldn't it? And pray for him. And some, you know, we recognize that life is busy, and whoever it is who's got to prepare, there's going to be so many distractions that could come into his life. And so pray for his preparation. Pray that he would have those uninterrupted times where he could hear from God. And if you would do that, that would be really helpful. Pray that he won't be distracted. Pray that he will be able to devote himself to prayer and the ministry of the Word. And not only pray for him, but pray for yourself that you might go with the right attitude, with the right frame of mind, with a sense of expectancy. Did you come here today with any sense of expectancy? Were you expecting to hear from God today? Did you come with a sense that, God, I expect that you've got something to say to me today, and I want to hear it? So, we could say, pray up. I'm going to just use something up as my kind of little catchy phrases to hang on to. Pray up. Make sure, if you want to hear from God, that you come to the gatherings properly prayed up. Then secondly, clean up. Now, I'm not necessarily thinking about taking a shower, but that helps. It distracts others if you have certain odors that permeate your body. But I'm thinking of more your heart attitude. If your heart is hardened or it's preoccupied with the things of the world, the most anointed preaching is not going to make a whole lot of impact on you. Remember the parable of the seed and the sower? You remember, it's always good seed. You notice that in all... What's the difference? It's the soil. It's the receptivity of the soil. And the problem is some, they're just weeds that are just cluttering up the ground here, and the seed can't get a lodging place. Or maybe it's hardened, you see. It's just become hardened and it can't get in. And so the idea is that we have to ask ourselves, am I in a right spiritual state to hear from God? Two people can hear the same sermon, and one can be bored to tears, and the other one can really sense, God, you're speaking to me. Now, it's the same preacher, it's the same text, it's the same message, it's the same Holy Spirit at work. What's the difference? It's the heart, isn't it? And so we have to ask ourselves, did I come today in a right condition? The condition of our hearts is so critical. The thought of waiting upon God, of meeting with Him, should possess us, not coming as spectators, but coming with this sense of wanting to hear from God. Sometimes something as simple as bias against the preacher can affect us. Oh, it's him. I know I'm not going to get anything this morning. Or maybe that guy somewhere down the road, maybe 25 years ago, said something and you didn't like it, and it's still there at the back of your mind, and so you're just not going to hear. Listen, God could speak through Balaam's ass. Couldn't He? And He can speak through a preacher that you probably don't like. Because ultimately, what is it that's going to speak? It's God's Word, isn't it? And so, maybe you need to ask yourself, have I got a bias here? Maybe some of you looked and thought, oh no, Mike Atwood's coming today. And already have switched off before I even started. That's a possibility. Your mind needs to be decluttered too. The worst way you can prepare coming to hear from God is to spend Saturday night watching TV, playing computer games, or just filling your mind with trivial junk. It really doesn't help you prepare, does it? Your mind is going to be swirling with that kind of activity that you put into it the night before. If you want to hear from God on the Lord's Day, you know the time to begin? It's actually Saturday evening. You know how the Jews prepared for the Sabbath? They didn't wait till Saturday. They began Friday evening. Isn't that how they began? To prepare themselves. I really believe in that. When we had small children, because we had five kids, and every 2 years, that's the way it was. If we didn't prepare on Saturday night, Sunday morning, we were not in a good frame of mind to hear from God, because there was just too much to do. So we had kids' clothes laid out, we had their shoes clean, we had everything ready Saturday. Even Sunday dinner was ready Saturday night. Now, we're not legalistic Sabbatarians, but we recognize if we're going to hear from God on the Lord's Day morning, we better make some preparations Saturday evening. We were never late. Never late. Why? We plan not to be late. And so, again, I think there's an importance there of preparation. If you want to fill your mind with something, Philippians 4:8 would be a good kind of parameter, wouldn't it? Whatsoever things are good, honest, pure, of good report. Think on these things. Take time at Lord's Day evening to just kind of quietly meditate and spend time with God in His presence and be in prayer for what the Lord will do the next day. If you just drop in to the Sunday morning meetings cold, that's how your heart will be when you leave. You came in cold, you'll go out cold. We should pray. I think it's a good thing to pray. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 would be a good way to pray on a Saturday evening. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. That's a good way to pray, isn't it? And if there is, get it dealt with Saturday night so you can come together in a right spiritual state on the Lord's Day morning. Maybe you need to make some phone calls, so don't leave it too late before you start praying that prayer. Maybe there's some people you need to apologize to, some people you need to talk to, whatever it is, but make sure that you come in the right way. I think of the passage in James 1 and verse 21. Put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness, or humbly accept the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. In order to receive with meekness the engrafted word, maybe there are some things that have to be put away, right? Put away all filthiness. Put away those things that would stop you from hearing from God. And then we think of the prayer of Samuel. Do you remember Samuel's prayer? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That would be a good prayer to pray in preparation for coming. So what we've said so far, pray up, and we've said clean up. Make sure that you're in the right spiritual condition. Of course, third thing is a very simple one, turn up. That's important, isn't it? The preacher will be here. And he will have prepared. And there's nothing more disheartening for a man that would have spent possibly 8 hours of preparation, maybe longer, for somebody just not to bother. Now, I realize some people have legitimate issues. Your name's in the obituary column, that's a legitimate reason for not being here. But generally speaking, a lot of the reasons we don't show up are not legitimate. And so turn up, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approach. Do you see the day approaching? I don't know about you, but I'm convinced the Lord's coming. I mean, I know that we can't always say that, but it's hard to just hear what's going on out there without thinking you can almost hear His footfall. Can't you? So that means we need fellowship even more. And we need the Word of God even more, because the days are difficult, aren't they? I've never met as many believers who are going through difficulties as are going through difficulties right now. I go away on trips, and I want to tell you, sometimes the burden is almost too much. I remember last summer being in a situation where several people from an assembly were all kind of pouring out their problems to me, and I could not sleep at night because of the heartache of God's people. I had people weeping about the problems in their assembly before me, and I went to bed at night and I just couldn't sleep. Spent all night crying out to God for this assembly in such terrible state, and it's not unusual. These are difficult days. We need each other so much, don't we? So show up. And can I say, turn up early? It's amazing how we show up early for so many things. Sports games, you know, if you want a good seat, guess what you do? You go early. Now, you get an appointment to see the president. Even, doesn't matter what you think of the present president, if you got invited to the White House, you would go. And you would be there early. When my wife and I became naturalized citizens in this country, we showed up to the ceremony early. And so did everybody else. Why? Because, listen, you've gone through this process. You don't want to blow it at the last hurdle. You want to be there. And so, again, just this idea of turning up and turning up. Because not only do you want to hear from God, you want others to hear from God. And there's nothing more disruptive than being in the meeting and everybody sat quietly and then the doors burst open and in comes a tribe. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just not fair. In Northern Ireland, because of the troubles over there, they had several incidences in some of the churches over there where an IRA guy would burst in and start spraying people with gunfire. And so when they came into the meeting, as soon as the hour was come, the door was locked. And if you were late, you missed it. Nobody was late. You know what? Because they knew that at 11 o'clock the door would be locked or whatever. Yeah, they broke bed at 11 o'clock. But that would be a good incentive, wouldn't it? So let's get here on time, and let's get here early, so that we can spend some time in quiet expectancy and praying. after the family or after the coffee break, get up here on time. It's going to be a challenge here. Are you going to apply the scriptures? We're going to get a real test here today. Yeah, I think, you know, in the Bible, you know, they had silver trumpets to get the attention of the children of Israel. I think we could do with that some of our assemblies, can we, to get people up from the coffee? And then during the message, this is before the message, now during the message, sit up. Near the front would be helpful. It's amazing, isn't it? Any other kind of scenario, people want front seats. And yet the back seat is seemingly the most attractive seat in the whole building in an assembly. One of these days, I'm gonna do it. I'm going to put the, just if it's a mobile podium thing, I'm going to go to the other end. But what's the problem? I mean, I'll tell you one scenario. There's a lady in an assembly that we were in fellowship in, and she was hard of hearing, and she always sat third row from the back. And she would always complain, I never hear the preachers. And so we said, well, why don't you sit near the front? You can lip read better near the front. You know what? Get near the front. You know what she said? But I've sat in this row for the last 30 odd years. So she's had 30 years of not hearing from God. Now, I don't just mean sit up in terms of near the front. I mean sit up in terms of your posture. Now, I spoke to a youth group one time, and it was so annoying because this particular place, they had built a gymnasium, they put a meal on, they invited all these kids, and they really had gone out of their way to bless these young people. They were really privileged. And here they are, some of them just kind of almost like they were laying on a, you know, kind of one of the ancient couches waiting for somebody to put grapes in their mouth. I mean, that's the pose they were in. And unfortunately, maybe in a less spiritual moment, I just let them have it. And I said, you should be ashamed. The people who have done all this work for you, and you don't even have the manners to sit up and pay attention. And that's what it is. A lot of this is just bad manners, isn't it? Your posture really says something. You know, there are assemblies. I want to tell you something. You want to improve the preaching in an assembly? As I travel around, there are certain individuals that I preach at in every assembly. Now, not because they need it. Actually, they need it less than most. But preaching is a two-way street. We feed preachers off the audience. And sometimes it's slim pickings. I want to tell you, it really is. But there's some place I go, and there's one place I can tell you, there's a sister, she sits kind of right near the front, and she's coming off the seat at you. You quote scripture, she's mouthing the verses, and I'll tell you what, anybody that ever preached in that assembly would say that they would preach to that woman. When she moved from the west coast of Florida to the east coast of Florida, the brethren there said, we have just lost our most valuable brother. She affected the whole caliber of the preaching. You know, you can make a difference by how you respond. Sometimes the different poses you get, you know, there's this kind of spiritual eyes closed, almost trance-like thing. And to me, it's just, if you look at the speaker, there's something there. You're saying, I want to hear what you're saying. Close your eyes. To me, it says you're indifferent. Or you just need a nap or something. I don't know what it is. But this idea of sit up. Hush up. It's amazing. People get involved in conversation. Now they think they're whispering. But it's amazing how distracting that is. Now if you want to speak back to the preacher. There's one brother in our area, Benny Harrell. He may even be out here for the surge. I think he's coming. He's a joy to have because he speaks right back to you. You know, you'll say to him and say, that's it, brother. Amen, amen. And he's not Pentecostal, but he's just engaged. And it makes a difference. But don't speak to each other. And then some other things in terms of hush-up. Cell phones. Off. Turn them off. Don't even bring them in. I don't bring mine in. I put it, you know, in the thing in the car. Just put it in there and leave it there. Nothing's that urgent. Just in terms of hearing from God and making sure others can hear from God, there's one assembly I go to. I don't know what the problem is, but all through the meeting, people are getting up and going to the bathroom. And it's not like a trend. One gets up and then another one looks at, usually young people, but not just young people, and then another one goes and another one goes. Now, listen, if you can't last an hour, I think you need to go see your doctor. Honestly, I really do. Think in terms of distraction. Do you want to hear from God? Do you want others to hear from God? And then could I say, open up, open your Bible and follow along. Check on what he's saying, for one thing, right? I mean, because we're to be like Bereans. Don't just accept it because the preacher's saying it. Check him up. Go to the text. Read the text. Make sure it's been quoted properly. You may find something helpful that you want to underline. Look up as well. You know, as we said, just the, kind of look at the preacher as well as looking at the text when he tells you to do that. Don't be looking around all the time. I'm kind of the worst offender of that. I know that. My wife kind of keeps nudging me and telling me because I'm kind of, something's going on. I want to be looking. I remember one time somebody came in and it was quite a bit after the meeting had started and every head turned back. And Jabe Nicholson was speaking that day and what he said was, if somebody comes into the door, through that door with two heads, I'll let you know. Could you write up as well, mark up your Bible? There's nothing. I met somebody recently, and they were telling me that they'd made a decision that they were going to marry a man that was serious about the Bible. And they said, Lord, how would I know if somebody's serious about the Bible? And actually, her godly grandfather said to her, well, find a man with a well-marked Bible. And so she was at a conference one day, and this guy, and he opens his scripture, and it's just full of notes and all. And she said, "That's the man." But it really is helpful, you know. If you're listening to a message, and there's certain things stand out, and you can write it. I do that myself, write in the text, and it's amazing how when later on when you're reading that in your personal devotions, how much of that information will come back to you, and so it can be very helpful. Now we're going to get serious. Own up. When God speaks to your heart about some failure, perhaps even today, make a point of agreeing with God. And being honest in His presence. Maybe you need to afterwards get alone with God and just deal with it. I was listening recently. I was traveling down from Pennsylvania and I had a book on CD and it was called The Disciplines of a Godly Man by R. Kent Hughes. And as I'm listening to this, it was so convicting I kept having to press the off button and have a talk with God. And just tell Him about areas where I have been ill-disciplined in the things of God. And I'm really thankful for that. You know, that's the whole point, isn't it? The point is not that we fill our heads with information, but that we get real in the presence of God and we deal with things that need to be dealt with. And to agree with Him about failure is a very important thing. To ask Him for help in dealing with these issues and that the Spirit of God is drawing your attention. Ask Him that you might get victory over this area that He is showing to you. And so owning up. And then after the message, what should we do? Well, first of all, wait up. Just do not quickly get up out of your seat and start idle chit-chat. I remember being in speaking in a gospel meeting in Ireland, and there was a real sense that God was speaking. After the message, there was this silence, and it was a really serious, like people were serious. And then one guy gets up and starts telling a joke. And you know, it just as instantly, it just seemed the whole atmosphere was lost. And so often, after a message, it's just we're up out of our seats, we're just talking chit-chat, everyday things, and maybe we need to just pause in silence for a moment. Reflect on what we've heard. Thank God for speaking to you. Ask for help on acting what you've heard. And then go up. If the Lord has spoken to you, encouraged you, rebuked you, challenged you, then go and speak to the preacher and tell him. Thank him for the labor in the word. Thank him for the help that you've received. Don't go to pick a fight with him. Don't be there to tell him your life story. Sometimes that can happen. I've had people that kind of call me and they just want to give me it all. I mean, just their whole story. And I remember one time, again, it was a series of gospel meetings. I'd given a gospel message and a man comes up to me and he's just basically wanting to give me his life story. And there's a little lad just stood at the side. And I could see this little lad was hanging around deliberately. He wasn't just stood there. He was waiting. And so this man kept on and on. And so in the end, he wasn't drawing breath. So it was hard to kind of inter. But so in the end, I said, excuse me, brother. I'll be here other nights. Can we continue this conversation? But this little lad wants to talk. That little lad came up to me and he said, I want to be saved. And sometimes we can be so insensitive. So it is good to go up. It is good to stress, if the Lord has spoken to you. That's a good thing. But be sensitive about what God is doing in other people's lives. And then finally, tune up. Don't be like the man in the Epistle of James. James chapter 1. Let's just look there. We're very familiar with it. James chapter 1 and verse 23. He says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. When the word of God is being preached so often, and it happens often, you'll get people coming up and saying, who told you? How did you know? How does that happen? Well, all we're doing is we're holding up the mirror. And you'll see yourself in it. Sometimes you see yourself in it and it's not pretty. And the foolish man sees in the mirror and he sees there's stuff that needs attention. But what does he do? He just walks away. Makes no adjustments, makes no changes. And he says, this is not how we should be. When the word of God is being given out, the first thing we should be saying is, Lord, not I hope brother so-and-so is listening to this message. But what we should be saying is what Saul of Tarsus said on the road to Damascus. Lord, what would you have me to do? And then make that necessary adjustment. Maybe you need to, instead of just writing notes, make a list of things to apply to your life. Maybe that would be more useful than having notebooks that are filled with what the preacher said, rather than having notebooks filled with areas where the Lord has spoken. And he's saying, you need to deal with this. Write that down. Make that. This is an area that I need to deal with. The Thessalonians were a delight to the heart of the Apostle Paul. This is what he says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. He says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Why did he like them? They heard it. They believed it, not the word of man. They believed it was the word of God. And as the word of God began to take root in their lives, it began to effectually work in them that believe, and it began to transform them. Can I ask you some personal questions? How much preparation did you put in to coming here today? Did you pray? Did you spend time asking the Lord to clean up areas in your life that might prevent you from receiving the Word of God with meekness? What about during the message? Have you been praying for the preacher? Believe me, he needs it. What about after the message? Will it make any difference to the life of this assembly. You know, I believe that if we really came properly prepared to hear from God every Lord's Day with the right attitude and the right reverence to the Word of God, you know what that would do? I think it would transform us very quickly. The people that God wants to deal with are people that tremble at His They have that right attitude toward the Word of God. They come with a sense of expectancy that they're going to hear from God. They come recognizing the importance that they do take heed how they hear. And then, not only do they hear the Word of God, they act upon what they hear. I know that there's a lot of activity going to be going on in connection with this assembly in the next couple of weeks. And I don't know how many of you will be going where or doing what. Some of you will be going to Ottawa, where Scott is going to be giving gospel messages. One thing that you can do to prepare for this outreach is daily get on your knees and pray for Scott that he'd have a message from heaven. You might pray that that the people that come would come with a willing heart to hear what God has to say. You might pray that during the meeting that God would keep distractions away, and that God forbid that you would be a distraction. You might pray that afterwards there would be such a holy hush because the presence of God would be so real in those gatherings, that to speak would spoil everything. I'm going to end where I began in Proverbs and just reiterate the importance of hearing. Proverbs 29. And verse 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. God is saying to us, do you want me to listen to you? Do you really want me to hear your prayers? Well, please, do me the courtesy of listening to me. God has a lot of things to say to us. He wants to speak to us. Maybe He wants to warn us. Maybe He wants to rebuke us. Maybe He wants to encourage us. I don't know what He wants to do with you individually, but I do know that God is in the business of communication, and He wants to speak. But sometimes the problem is that we're just not listening. Let's be those that have ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray. Our Father, we're just thankful for the amazing privilege of having the Word of God in our language. We think of the men like William Tyndale that paid the ultimate price so that we might have the Scriptures in our mother tongue. Father, we realize that it's a very serious thing to have been given such a depository of divine treasure. And it's a very serious thing to neglect it. Father, we would ask that you would help us to be those that are eager to hear your voice. That we might be those that come to meetings like this in a very prayerful way, with a sense of expectancy, with a sense that you will speak, and that we, like Samuel of old, would be ready to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Well, Father, we do pray for this assembly that it might be a place where it is a delight for preachers to preach, because the soil is so ready to receive the seed. We pray that it would be a fruitful place, place where the Lord Jesus is honored and magnified, place where sinners find Christ as their Savior. We commend the outreach today. We ask that it would be a blessed time, and it would be a time that people would really hear from God. So again, we would commend our fellowship time to you now. We ask again that we might be those that would redeem the time and even use this time to build one another up in our most holy faith. We'll give thee the glory in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.